Hello, and welcome to another episode of Android's Amazing Podcast. I'm your host, James Santana. I'm pretty sure I opened last week.
I think you did. I remember this.
We're brought to you by Android's...
You didn't even introduce me. I'm not on the show, guys. Bye.
No, he quit. He's done. He's done.
Goodbye.
my lifelong partner.
Lifelong. All right. I thought it was Lee, but I'll take it.
You're my work husband. It's fine. Okay. Hunter Bailey, this is Hunter.
Yeah, you barely introduced me.
I know. We're brought to you by Android's Amazing Comics down in Saville, New York, and now let's get into the show.
We got some news.
So you want to start off with some Tom King sweetness?
Yeah, well, not Tom King sweetness.
No, actually, I lied.
Some Batman sweetness.
I'm upset, actually, by this news.
Okay.
I know I did that.
So we've been aware for a while that Tom King was leaving Batman with issue number 85, and then jumping into Batman Catwoman 12-issue maxi.
Yes.
To finish off his story. DC, during Batman Day, finally decided...
Officially announced.
They already knew who they wanted.
Yeah.
They officially announced who was going to be the writer and the artist.
Yep.
The writer is James Tynion, who's done Batman Robin Eternals in Gotham. He did Talon. He's done a bunch of Robin stories.
He
was doing some detective stuff. He did...
Was that the Gotham Knights story?
He did the Belfry stuff.
That's the one with the Gotham Knights. That's the team.
The Gotham Knights is what it's called. I was just called the Belfry team.
Yeah, it's Gotham Knights. Well, that's what I call it.
Yeah, and then he did also... Oh, he's done Batman Turtles.
You don't have to go that deep into the history of the writer.
Just talking about his Batman stuff. And then the artist is Tony S. Daniels.
Cool. Tony Daniels? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So...
We love Tony Daniels.
Funny enough, they make the announcement that... God, I love his
art. Oh, yeah, and he...
They make the announcement that he's writing Batman, but then they also... Marvel also made the announcement at the same time that he's doing Spider-Man.
He's coming back for 20 years of No Marvel. I saw that, too, and I was like... Good for him.
Yeah, he's double villain. He's double villain.
And fucking Batman.
He's like, yo, you both go to pay me now.
So, Tynion and Daniels take over with issue 86. They're not rebooting.
Nope.
Which is what Superman did when they brought over Bendis.
Yes.
They were like, Superman ends at 45, but guess what? Bendis gets a number one. I wish they would have just continued it.
Yes. All right. So, on that train of thought, me and Anna were talking about this morning. And the big thing is why they're not renumbering Tynion's run on the book. Is that he's not going to be the permanent writer.
Oh, okay.
That's the rumor.
He's just the new creative team.
He's a fill-in.
Well, that's not the rumor. That's your...
That's
your theory.
Theory.
Yeah.
That he's going to be a filler between 86 and 100. Because realize, it's not that long. It's
gonna, 14 issues. It's two arcs.
It's two arcs. And if they're bi-weekly, it's 6 months.
Yeah.
No. 7 months.
7 months, yeah.
7 months. So by the time whatever groundbreaking story they go to tell in Batman...
Whatever Tynion can tell.
You know, whatever he wants to kind of wrap up. With,
it'll end around the same time as Batman Catwoman.
Right.
That's the first arc of it.
Yeah.
Which will be funny.
So, they're gonna wrap this stuff up, and they're gonna drag it into whatever the new status quo for Batman's gonna be, really.
I feel like once they hit 100, they're gonna do their new, like, relaunch event, and then chop all the books down again and do number ones. That's my
thing. I mean, not all of them.
I don't want them to do that, because I mean, seeing, like...
We're always talking about Batman.
I like seeing books... Go farther than 100.
Of course. But what I... Because Ant pointed out a good idea about it this morning. It's because it doesn't make sense for him to jump on at 86.
Yeah, they should have just relaunched
like,
it.
Which isn't like a jumping number on.
Yeah, but it's also not foreign for them to just switch writers.
But that's not what he was saying. What he's saying is for them to jump on at 86 and not renumber it as a number one for...
85 is a good place to end.
Yeah, 85 would be a good, solid place to go, all right,
I think they want
to
hit 100.
That's why. Yeah. So you hit 100, and then you can renumber. And it doesn't have to do with anything else, DC. It makes sense for that book to hit 100. And go, all right, then 100 is a big shakeup, and then your new team going forward, official creative team going forward.
Taking over in January?
Yeah. No, December. Because the solicit for November just came out. And in them is going to be is 85.
I think they're going to drop Batman from being a bi-monthly and change it to a monthly.
Yeah.
Because if they time it out properly, issue 100 will come out around the same time as Batman Day next year.
That'd be dope.
It'll come out around the same time. I think it's going to be one or two issues off, but they'll make it like they'll have like
an annual. Will be in between.
They'll double up for a couple more months, and then like around March they'll be like, it's just going to be a single.
Just
a monthly. And then a couple months will go by, and then we'll get Batman Day, and that'll be issue 100 the week of that.
That'd be cool if they...
That's what... It kind of adds up if you make it
If you
work.
Play with the numbers a little bit.
Yeah. So it'd be cool to see it ends on Batman Day at issue 100. And then you get like a double size, like $10 book or something.
Yeah, and that's what they'll do. And then whatever new status quo they want to set for Batman, whether it's a Fallout.
And then we need another. Well, we know Scott Snyder's doing a huge event in the next couple bits. I think that could be the summer event.
He says starting in January.
He's setting it up in January with the Hellarisen stuff.
That comes out in December.
Yeah, because then January is the next one.
January.
I don't think it's
going to
be
the
big event. They don't do beginning of the year events.
If the 12 issues, they do.
Oh, yeah, because it ends at the...
At the end of the year, so they start the fall the next year off. That's what they do with, Metal started in, like, November.
I thought Metal was a summer event.
No. Mm. The preludes were,
the setup was a while, but yeah.
Was September, October. It seemed like a summer because it was still nice out, at least for us.
Probably.
So it was a late summer, and then Metal was supposed to finish in, like, January, and it didn't finish until March that following year.
Yeah, because they kept adding books to it.
Yeah.
And delaying.
Something. Delaying it. So that's why. So, is that like they're not opposed to starting something in January? It's so that if you're going to do it, you do it for a year, and it makes sense to make it, again, Year of the Villain.
Yeah.
Started in January.
Even though Year of the Villain started in March.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Go from, yeah. But
So you and Ant are saying that Tinian is only doing
temporary,
let's say like 14 issues or so.
Yeah, he's gonna be the filler until he may not be, and that's good on him. But whatever, when they get to 100, he may not be the.
Oh wait, there's 14 issues remaining, right?
Yes.
Tinian will do 12 of them, and there'll be another 2-issue crossover with Williamson writing the Flash. So then Tinian does a year of Batman. He does 12 issues of Batman.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense a little bit.
That could make sense because then they could switch it to a monthly.
Yeah.
And they can make it come out in time, but then make the month that the Williamson crossover comes over a bi-monthly one, so then you get both of them slotted in already, and then you get the rest.
So you
that's me grasping at stuff and thinking about it.
Yeah, figure out where number 100 is going
to
drop.
Yeah. Because I really want it to drop on Batman Day next year, because it would just be cool.
It would make sense. Like,
yeah,
them
and you know they're thinking about...
Oh, yeah.
Is they announce it on Batman Day, they're like, we got to figure this out.
Of course. I mean, they wouldn't... Because, again, doing that Batman Day thing makes sense.
Yeah. I think it would be good.
Speaking out of Batman
Sorry,
Day,
yeah.
There's a little, there's two,
tiny bit of rant.
No, it's fine. Speaking out of Batman Day news, we didn't post this in the article, but we were talking about it when we were cleaning yesterday.
Which one? I don't remember.
The secret tweet that was dropped.
Oh, yeah, Scott Snyder. Okay, so I'll just do this real quick. So Warner Brothers Games are the guys who did like the Arkham series. And Warner Brothers Montreal is the guys who's done the Arkham Origins game, which was the Arkham prequel, kind of. So they made a tweet on Batman Day. Saying, what was it? Something about honoring Gotham and to look out soon. Because they're going to announce something probably at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that only makes sense. I just put that together now. I just put it together as I said it. Oh, that's going to be so cool. So, Warner Brothers Montreal has been teasing that they've been doing a Batman game for like a year now or so. Because we know what's happening. And we know that it's going to be a Court of Owls story. But it wasn't really confirmed until Scott Snyder posted a tweet that he had to delete later on, that said, beware the owls, check back soon, wait for it, # beware the court of owls.
Aw, man.
And then he had to delete it, but one of my internet buddies screenshotted it and was like, dude! So
it's and you saw in the images. Yeah. So what the images were lighting of the bat signals in the different cities.
Yeah, and there's also the flashes.
Faded, yeah, so there's the screen glitches. At each of those areas.
Yeah, and it shows
the symbol for the Court of Owls from the Arkham games.
Yeah, it's the symbol from the Court of Owls. It's the symbol of Azrael's people. One other symbol, and then the Ra's al Ghul symbol.
Yeah, the League Assassin.
I don't think it's just going to be Court of Owls. I think it's going to be Batman's going to be fighting four cults, in quotes, that are at war or something.
Yeah,
like it sounds the demons,
it sounds like,
Gotham at war or something.
If this is going to be my theory.
People think it's going to be called Beyond Gotham. It's going to be Batman Beyond game.
Yeah, that sounds weird. With the information
they're
giving,
think it's going to be a Dick Grayson game.
No,
Batman dies and then Dick Grayson takes
over. With the information we're given, this very little information we're given, and so this is my theory. If they're going to make another game, they're going to make. It sounds like they're going to take a mix between No Man's Land, the story of No Man's Land,
and Court of Owls, obviously.
Court of Owls, and like some of the current Outsider stuff, No. It's going to be like Court of Owls, No Man's Land, and like the War of Jokes and Riddles, where they have like the bad guys fighting each other.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like that happening.
Okay, I can see that. I'm just down for more Arkham. I've been missing it. I've been missing the games. They haven't released one since 16 or 17 for Arkham. Or even 2015, I forget. It's been a while, but I cannot wait to jump back in. And I liked Origins a lot. I think it's better than Asylum. That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
But I just think the gameplay was more refined.
You
want
to keep up this podcast,
don't you? No, because the gameplay was more refined, is what I was saying. The story in Asylum is way better, but the gameplay is better in Origins because it came out 4 or 5 years after Asylum did.
That's fair.
That's why I like it a little bit more. Plus, I like Bane's look in that one a lot more than I like Bane's look in the regular Arkham game. In the regular Arkham game, he's like this giant buff monster.
Oh, yeah,
in Origins,
I don't like
he's
that.
Like a dude in like a suit, and then he takes it off. He's got like the tank top on. It looks like classic Bane. That's the one I like. So I have a bias towards Bane. So anyway, now we're going back to the news we have on the docket again.
Yeah, because we the side thing, I meant to add it yesterday.
Yeah, we just totally forgot. Jonah Hill is in talks to play a villain in the new Batman film, but he wants to get paid more than Robert Pattinson.
Which makes
my complaint, and my understanding for Jonah is yes, Jonah is a better like seller than Robert Pattinson because he's been in more stuff.
Quote.
He's more famous in quotes, but he's not playing Batman, so why would he get paid more than Batman?
All right, so
this is weird.
This comes out of the two announcements last night.
And Jeffrey Wright is eyed to be Commissioner Gordon. Jeffrey Wright is...
He's from Westworld.
Yeah, and he was in the Into the Dark show, a movie on Netflix.
Yep.
And he's been from a lot of other stuff. Those are just the recent things.
I only remember him from Westworld.
He's been a lot. He's a
so, he is a good actor. He really is. He's Bernard on Westworld. That's what it was.
Bernard, that was the name.
I can't remember. Bernard.
He sold that dude off.
Yeah, he did.
So good.
So, all right. So, this is what it is. Coming out... And I think
he's voicing... we saw The Watcher in What If. Yep, yep, yep. Another thing.
So, the big thing is that... It's being out this news. I think this is all pre-Comic-Con news. Like, normally happens.
Yeah, it's all, like...
Speculation, rumors.
The speculation people are hiding in the corners, watching all the actors walk into DC going... Who could you be? Who could you be? You know,
and
what I mean?
A lot of it comes down to sometimes they're meeting with these people just to meet.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so for example, last week we talked about, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Hailee Steinfeld rumored to be cast as Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
They still haven't confirmed that, by the way.
No, but she was just meeting with Marvel.
Right.
She could have been doing something else.
Or Marvel announced that they were eyeing her. That's what it was.
Marvel announced
that they were looking at her as
because they already know she's talented from other movies and also Spider-Verse.
Right. So we have that. But so things like that will happen. Mm. A studio will announce they're interested in this actor, or it gets leaked out.
And then everyone in the speculation mill hits it up.
Hits it up about, oh, they could be playing this person, or they can just sometimes like the big examples are when actors are spotted meeting, like the
sets. Hugh Jackman was spotted on the set of Endgame.
I called that years ago, and no one wants to believe me that he wouldn't be in the movie. I made a bet.
He wasn't in the movie.
No, yeah, no.
He was just
I made a bet
set.
He wouldn't be in the movie, and someone still owes me dinner.
It's not me.
No, it's not you.
Don't say it like
no.
It was me.
No, it's not you. The rumor is that he is asking about more money, but he's pulling, what is his name? I can't remember his name. It's not Don Cheadle. The guy who played,
Terrence Howard.
Thank you. He's trying to pull a Terrence Howard. Terrence Howard
wasn't as notable as Robert Downey Jr.
He was at the time. At the time, he was.
I think, no.
Robert Downey Jr. coming out of, before Iron Man, was a nobody.
No, he had a movie. He had a couple movies under his belt that
before,
were really good.
Before, no, between his drug-addled...
Before the cocaine?
No, before, he was great before the cocaine.
Yeah, but after the cocaine,
and then
he had
after
nothing.
And then he had nothing before Iron Man.
Yeah, Terrence Howard only got big, hear me out, recently because of his 3 or 4 TV shows he's had.
Empire!
Yeah, Empire didn't start until 2011, or 12.
No, why do I think it was earlier?
It's because you're thinking Boardwalk Empire.
That's
he's
what
not
I'm
on the. He wasn't
of.
On it, but it was just so close.
Then, that's you know,
Empire
I was
started
so,
in like 2013 or something.
Ignore my shitty rant.
No, but you're holy shit. You have a point. Terrence Howard did want more money after appearing in the first one because he was like Robert Downey Jr. is making way more money than me. I want to be making the same as him.
Which he had no
saying,
clout for.
Oh, he had no clout. He had some clout,
but not enough.
His character wasn't as big as Iron Man.
Right,
he was
to
War
be
Machine.
The lead. Yeah.
He was only War Machine
wasn't
only recently
lead.
Appeared in more movies.
If you ever walk into it's like walking to a job and you're the janitor and you want the same amount of money as the CEO.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way, guys.
No, there's some leeway. If Terrence Howard asked for more money, period, they might have given it to him. But
yeah.
not as much as they were giving Downey.
Yeah,
the
it
star
makes no
of
sense.
Movies.
Yeah, and this is what the rumor with Jonah Hill is right now
he
with Pattinson.
He wants more money than Pattinson, but Pattinson's the star.
Yeah. Regardless of how much clout Jonah Hill has, Rob Pattinson is the
I
lead.
I see his point of view, but also, you gotta see the executive's point of view.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill isn't going to be Batman.
No.
People also think he's going to be the Penguin, which I think is a little rude. Because he gained a little bit of weight recently. And I thought that was a little rude. Way. I was like, come on.
He's a Penguin.
I think he's going to be...
You reminds me of a young Robert De Niro.
I think he'll be... I was going to say Two-Face, but then I sound like a moron. I think he's going to be Carmine Falcone.
Oh, he's doing Gangster.
Yeah, because he did the other... not the Gangster. He did War Dogs, where he was, like, gangster-esque.
Yeah.
And he's done a bunch of stuff where he's been, like, kind of badass, like, super bad.
Oh, my God, super bad.
I just watched that recently. You know, I think he would be good as just a gangster guy, because I don't see him... They can't do Black Mask, because he's in the Birds of Prey.
I swear to God.
But I think Jonah Hill is not going to be playing a costume character.
I'm going to take a little side rant for a second.
Right? He's not going to be playing a costume character. I think Jonah Hill is going to be playing... fucking just Carmine Falcone. Because this is an origin story for Batman, in quotes. From what I've gathered like about the movie, it's like year one. And in a lot of the year one stories, Batman doesn't fight Joker and the Riddler and Penguin. He fights gangsters. Right. You can introduce the Penguin and set him up for a sequel and set up Dent as well, but you can't just go, here's the Riddler, he's green. Here's Joker, he's purple. You can't just throw out these colors, because Matt Reeves does more of like the black and white, not black and white, but like the deeper kind of films. So I don't think that we're going to get the costumed superheroes so fast, the supervillains so fast.
It's true.
So I think Carmine Falcone is a good spot for him. What's your rant?
Is
it about Black Mask?
Yes, it is.
Do you want to wait until we start talking about the topic?
No.
Because we'll be talking about the movie for a sec.
I need to do it now.
You want
to
do it now? Okay.
Talk about it real quick. Only for the Black Mask, nothing else. If he doesn't wear the mask... I'm going to scream.
Oh, if he doesn't wear the mask, he's not Black Mask. He's just Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Well, no. Because when he's first introduced, he'll probably wear the mask because they want to save the reveal.
Mm.
Then we'll see Ewan McGregor like walking around in town, and Harley will go, I recognize your voice. And then he'll take off the mask in one of the fight scenes or something.
What's up about that?
Because they want Ewan McGregor's face, but they also want to be comic book accurate.
Black, wear the mask.
He's wearing the white suit and the black glove, so he's going to have the mask on. That's his motif.
I know.
So he's got to put it on.
He's got my mask. Sorry, that was also, a mental side rant for that. I definitely was.
I read the Year of the Villain one, and I made a mention. Was Psionis always kind of fucked up looking, or was he just in that?
We talked about this.
It was just the...
No, it was only for the Year of the Villain thing. Because he wasn't...
Ewan McGregor's a good looking guy. Yeah. I don't think they're going to fuck him
up. He's got a scar in the poster.
Yeah, because he's got to have something going on. But
yeah.
You know.
But no,
I just can't believe the plot of this movie. I hope it's not about dick pics.
Right. We'll talk about it later.
I hope it's not about dick pics. Okay.
We'll talk about later.
So,
all right, I'll talk about the next story.
Yeah, you hit it up. Because this is like your cup of tea right now.
Yeah.
And we can also talk about...
Yeah, what we found out today.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to make you scream.
I'm upset too.
We're a lot of DC news today.
Yeah, usually it's Marvel that's covering everything. We have no Marvel news on here.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about... DC episode.
So, CW announced more people for their crossover. Last week, the rumor... I called before this, and I had to do housekeeping. Now I have to go back and do this. The third time I'm covering this story... Tom Welling and Erica Durance are coming to CW's Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover as Clark and Lois.
From Smallville. We knew Tom Welling was going to be in it, but we didn't know he was going to be Superman.
No. We didn't know.
You did, but we didn't.
Yeah, I said that he was going to be in it. Then
you said he was going to be Superman.
Yeah, and then they were like, no, because what happened was this. There was a rumor that was going around that confirmed that he was supposed to be in the in this crossover back episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said on the show. And then I went back when the Hollywood Reporter came out and said that he wasn't in talks with them. Because Stephen Amell had came out and said, yeah, we'd love to work with Tom, but we haven't been able to talk about it yet.
Okay.
So I had to go back and do housekeeping and say what I thought was true, not true at all. And then now it's official. I'm like,
motherfucker.
I don't want to have to do this.
Stop backtracking.
Because at this point, I want to say Linda Carter's going to be on there as Wonder Woman.
I want her to be, but she won't.
She's already Supergirl. She's on Supergirl as the president.
Yeah, she's the president.
It's really no extra. Yeah, she's
probably already on set half the time anyway, just in case.
Yeah, it's probably not that hard for them to do.
They'll probably get her.
Yeah,
they're getting John Wesley's ship back as Flash.
Yeah, well, he's
coming back as Flash.
I know, because he was on there three times as Flash already.
Classic Flash. I thought it was just as Jay Garrick.
He was once as Jay Garrick.
Okay.
And then he was as Earth 90 Flash. That's the Earth where the show's from.
And he was his dad, yeah, okay.
And he was also his dad.
So he's three characters in the show.
That's the +7 multiverse.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So, then they, with the announcement of Erica Durance and Tom Welling coming back, fans, and me and you said this immediately when they made the announcement.
Give us Matthew Rosenbaum.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Michael. I thought it was Matthew.
No, it's Michael.
It's Michael Rosenbaum.
Thank you.
I'm cutting it there. I don't know.
So.
I'm thinking Matthew Rosenberg from X-Men.
X-Men. That's why I remember I did that yesterday. When I was putting out like, oh, I want Michael Rosenberg.
I corrected you yesterday.
I'm like, no, that's X-Men. Like, damn it. I keep forgetting. I'm mixing the two last names and the first names up. So.
Michael Rosenberg.
Michael Rosenberg, who also.
Rosenbaum.
Rosenbaum. Damn it. You know he did the voice of Flash, right?
In the Justice League.
The animated, he was Wally.
Yeah.
Which would be great for this.
Get him back as Wally.
As an alternate, get him back as an alternate version of Wally.
He's still good.
He's a good looking man.
He's still ripped enough to play a costume hero.
He was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Was he Taserface?
No, he was Matrix. Alright, remember
Matrix. Whatever his name, Martin X.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, that was him.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he just a voice?
Yeah. Oh, well, actor also. Body act. VXF.
I didn't even see him, thing. Though.
Because he was the silver-looking guy.
No, he was the ice guy.
Yeah, so that's what you can tell. But yeah, he was a voice actor and suit effect guy.
Cool.
So the internet went nuts, hopefully, to get him there. And I thought he would...
I went nuts.
So did I. I thought he would make a good... Well, that's where it would be... You have...
And John Cryer?
It would be closer to the original Crisis.
Yeah.
Where you had Earth 1 Lex... Evil Lex on in there, and or three Lex as the good Lex, as the one that gets them all together.
Yeah.
And someone actually pointed a theory out
like
where,
Injustice or DC Universe Online.
Yeah. Yeah. Or someone actually pointed a theory out. There's a scene in Smallville. I saw this on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I remember the episode. There's a scene in Smallville where Lex was walking out. It's a dream he has. Where he's in a white suit. Mm-hmm. And he's walking out with a bunch of dead heroes around him, and then the sky starts raining blood. And everyone could have been like, that could have been a foreshadowing to this.
In some way, shape, or
form. And you could have softly reconned that instead of being symbolic to make it realistic.
Yeah.
But sadly, he will not be on this, and a dash of my dreams, because he could have been Earth 3, he could have been...
The problem was he shot it down, because they didn't give him enough material.
Right. So, this is from his official Twitter account.
This is from him.
From him today.
Manager.
Yeah, so yeah. He got offered... So, what they did is, on Friday, he was contacted by the... Warner Brothers contacted his agents, or CW contacted his agents, to set up this whole thing. But they gave him no script, no shoot time, how long it would take, whatever, where location...
Little to no money.
And little to no money to do this. So, he passed on it.
Yeah, he said, they haven't given me anything, I really can't. Just jump on this project because I don't know how long it's going to be and I have other commitments.
Yeah.
And,
which is fair. That's fair.
But also, like,
it sucks
come
for,
on.
It sucks
you probably fair. Should have just texted Tom and been like, hey, Tom, what's your shooting schedule like? Mine will probably be close.
Yeah.
Because
look,
they're all Smallville.
Look, I get it as a fan.
Three Supermen, by the way. I meant to say that way before. Three Supermen.
Yeah. It's
that's crazy.
Brandon Ralph.
Which is crazy.
Tom Welling.
Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah, Tom Hotchner.
Whatever.
Yeah, those are three.
Dude, I want to see a scene where Kingdom Come Superman meets Adam, and they make a mention, like, you're good-looking. Because like, Adam will be like, that's a good-looking Superman.
Yeah.
It would be funny. It would make sense.
But, yeah. Their whole thing is, all they had to do is, as a fan, it sucks.
As a fan, it sucks.
But I have to, and this is why I kind of get on people's case, and this is where I get on people's cases about being a fan. It's like, just because you think, alright, so I'm going to use Hugh Jackman as an example. Everyone wants him to play Wolverine in another,
He already said he's done.
He's done.
He didn't really want to do Logan.
No, he didn't. They just gonna add, they added another zero to his check.
Yeah, they were like, here you go. And he was like, I'm down to finish this.
Yeah. That's why he did it as a finale. And but there's a lot of fans like, oh, well, why can't they just bring him back in the Avengers thing? Why can't they, oh, well, why, I'm like, no, stop trying to find reasons.
He's also like 55 and doesn't like being ripped.
Yeah.
And also he likes to do musicals more than he likes to do Marvel movies.
Yeah, like, sorry, guys, that's what he's passionate. That's what he was.
He wants to do Les Mis 2 or whatever.
Yeah, he's a trained classically Broadway
He's a Broadway actor. He just happened to look like Wolverine, kind of.
And he had done some stuff
He's done acting before.
Yeah. That. So, that's the whole thing. And again, it goes back to the whole Michael Rosenbaum thing, is that, yeah, as fans, we want to see the people that we grew up with in those roles. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, Kevin Conroy coming to play an older Batman is awesome because we're kids that grew up with the anime series. But again, Only that really matters to us. It doesn't matter to the 5-year-old, you know, the teenager that's probably watching it now.
Yeah, my brothers have no idea who these people are.
So that's the thing. Like, so yeah, it sucks being a fan, but you know, not for nothing. It's so cool that we still got Tom Welling and Erica.
Yeah. I mean, if we're being honest, we only needed them.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to be a Superman fight scene.
Yeah.
And the Lois Lane, all the Lois Lanes will be there or whatever.
I think it's only two that they have on the show.
Well, they don't have a Lois Lane for Kingdom Come, that's why.
Right, yeah.
But they could easily just... I don't remember... I haven't read Kingdom Come.
She's dead. She died in Kingdom Come.
She died in that one? Okay.
Yeah.
I'd be like, she's there.
No, she's dead in Kingdom Come. You've never read Kingdom Come?
Not fully. I've only read, like, the first issue.
Why not?
Or the first...
Why not?
I haven't gotten around to it.
I have 4 copies. You can definitely borrow one.
Give me one.
You can definitely borrow
one. Yeah, that's what
one.
I mean. That's what I mean. I'll check it out. I haven't read it yet.
I have the absolute edition of that book. Do I have it? That's my Bible.
Here's the thing. Do I have it on my shelf? Is my question. I might have it. Just haven't read it yet. All right. Let's get back to news. We keep going off topic. So they're going to be in the Crisis thing on CW.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Closing argument. Cool.
Yeah. All right. So I'll cover the next 2 stuff.
Okay.
So, just because this is really short and sweet. Give me 1 second.
Sorry. Hasbro.
No, I'll pull up the actual article. I want to say the actual creators.
I just couldn't remember it.
Yeah, the company. It's Hasbro. Hasbro Micronauts is coming to a movie now.
Silver Screen. The Gold Screen?
Silver Screen.
Silver Screen is a movie, right?
And it's going to be written by the film Reboot. Because I don't
there
know.
There was one way back in the day, I think. Or Michael Bay was trying to do one a while ago.
Yeah. And it's going to be from the gentleman, the guys who brought you How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, I love those guys.
Oh, yeah.
They gave us good stuff.
They really did. Oh, the previous script was written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernicke, who did who used to work for J.J. Abrams. Hasbro's actual production company is called All Spark Productions.
That's funny.
I never knew that.
They got their start on Transformers with the original Transformers show movie.
Robin, I mean, that's what they
made.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, you know how crazy that was when I was a kid when I watched it? I mean, I didn't watch it in theaters, obviously, but like when I watched it as a kid, I was like, what?
I mean, yeah.
Kill Optimus! You got the touch!
Oh my god.
So we're getting Micronauts.
Okay, so...
Cool! What are the Micronauts? I really don't...
You don't know what Micronauts are?
To me,
I do!
To me, they're G.I. Joe with robot suits. That's what
no!
I think they are. Oh, that's Mask.
Yep.
What's Micronauts then?
Micronauts, okay. So, long ago, here's a little brief history of Micronauts. Before they were owned by IDW and all the Hasbro stuff. Yeah. Alright, they were a Marvel property.
Yeah, yeah.
They were from Microspace. Microspace like is tiny? Yeah. That's where Bug like comes. Where I won't call him Bug, but his name's not Bug, but he's similar to Bug from Fourth World. My God. I think his name was Bug. He's green. He was in Guardians for a little
Ambush
bit.
Ambush Bug.
Oh. No, he was in Guardians for a while on Marvel.
Mantis.
Not Mantis. But it was during the it's all that Dan Albert
oh,
run.
Oh, it's Bug.
Yeah, it's Bug.
For sure Bug, yeah.
You know what is another character named Bug in
Ambush,
DC?
Ambush Bug.
No, in DC it's just called Bug also. Forager.
Oh, okay. Like satire.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So.
Dang it.
Microsoft come from Microspace. They are like heroes. They're pretty much like a team of heroes that exist to fight against an evil villain called Baron Kaza.
Are they super powered or are they like Power Rangers and like.
No, some of them just have. Some of them have powers. Some of them don't. The leader has a red and white mech suit he wears. Like power suit. Also, that's where the Uniforce comes from.
What?
Captain Marvel. Captain Universe.
Oh, okay.
Microspace is where that comes from.
Cool.
Scar's, Hulk's son, Hirokala.
Oh, okay.
Became the ruler of Microspace for a while.
Cool.
Before they lost the rights to it to IDW and Hasbro.
Yeah.
Again. Because it used to be Marvel property for a very long time.
Yeah.
Actually, if you go back, you can actually see some of the crossovers from the old sets we have.
Cool.
Yeah. That's gonna be a cool book.
The next article of news is weird. It doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Compared to what's happening in media.
In the real world, yeah. So, they're ending the Rick and Morty comic book series at issue 60. That's what? How many more issues? 6, we said?
5 or 6.
5 or 6 left?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Minus the one shots and the D&Ds.
Yeah. Yeah, because it will all end around the same time.
Yeah.
Which is a big, weird kind of thing.
Because November is bringing the show back for season 4.
Right. So why would you end your series?
I think they're keeping it hush-hush, but I think you said it was about sales. I think it's about just losing the rights to it. I think Oni Press lost the rights to Rick and Morty, and they're just finishing out their run. I think they had like a timed lease on it. Like they like rented the property?
No, that's not how Lisa. That's not how
properties that, work for comics. No. Oh, I thought no. I thought you like not rent.
You don't have time. You don't have time. There's no time limit.
Contract with it.
Yeah, you have a contract, but what? All like
Netflix. They lost their contract for The Office in 2021. Right. Or no, something?
Comics don't work that way. So okay. For example, is this? Say you have a TV show. We'll use it. We'll actually use Rick and Morty for example.
Yeah.
Only Press goes to Adult Swim, William Street,
yeah.
Productions goes. Hey. We want to lease a likeness for Rick and Morty to a comic book series. They say yes or no, and they're like, all right, cool. We're going to run this into the ground. It could be for, they can stipulate, all right, it's just going to be miniseries like Dark Crystal, for example, or just miniseries. Mm-hmm. Or maxi-series, sorry. You know, or Jim Henson Storyteller, or the vignettes.
Yeah.
Miniseries. They were like, all right, cool, we want to do it for an ongoing, and we want to do it for specials and BS stuff. Cool.
They just use it in time.
Yeah, as long as you... And that's all they have to stipulate. Mm-hmm. There's no time limit. They can run it for another 50 years, unless, like, the company... Like, William Street has to be the one to pull the plug on it. Mm-hmm. And instead of going... If it's on the side of William Street, you're going, hey, cancel it because of whatever reason. Whether it's, like, we're not renewing the show for another season, we're not going to pay you, you know... It's cool that you're giving us money for it, but we're not making those... They can be like, oh, we're canceling the show. That's what it is, you know, right now. And then... They can be, all right, we're canceling the comic book. So it makes no sense that the show's getting renewed, got renewed and coming out in November, and we'll only have 6 issues left of the series. Mm-hmm. So Anthony actually thinks it's because the sales of the book, and it's, the sale there isn't mine, it's Anthony's.
Oh, okay.
He believes that the sales were down on the book after the whole thing with Justin Roiland last year.
What did he do?
During the break between season 3 and season 4 of Rick and Morty, there's a video that came out of a skit of a fake pilot he did.
Oh, for comedy and people got butt hurt.
Well, we've had this talk about comedy and how comedy can. It's not that
I find myself talking about comedians way more than I want to. I love comedians. No, so do I. Watch stand-up specials, but we talked about it with Six and Stones.
Yeah,
with Dave Chappelle's Six and Stones. Comedy, yes, it's subjective, but. They're comedians, they're telling jokes. You go to their shows for the jokes.
Yeah.
You don't go to their shows for politics.
Right, no. But the problem with... No, it's fine. No, it's fine. I
get so pissed about it because everybody's a baby now.
But no, it's not that. The problem is this. The problem I have with Justin Roiland's joke is that it's not funny and it's just to be offensive.
But it's a joke.
No. Jokes...
You need to show me. You'll show me this later, and then I'll stop arguing because I don't know what it is.
But I'll explain what it is. Yeah. I'll explain what the video was. The video is of him as like a clown, where he goes into a room and fucks.
What?
I said I
we say fuck.
Yeah, I know we do. But where he simulates raping a little girl.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
But wow. The girl's like, it's not a real girl, it's a doll. But everyone's like, that's offensive, even for, like, just for the... See, that's the thing. Jokes are jokes. Again, offensive cringy jokes are offensive cringy jokes, no matter what you do.
Are you sure? I can't find it anywhere.
This was about a year ago or 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago.
This is a video, this is based off the, it's the video game.
No, it's not a video game.
It's not the video game?
No.
There's a clown in his video game.
No. I don't remember because this was a while back. It was about a year or a year and a half ago.
Yeah, continue talking. I'll look it up.
But, so, Chris Brownell brought it up to me from We Love Comics.
Yeah.
He brought it up to us, and we were talking about when it broke. Because it was right around the same time James Gunn got fired. That's why. So, the James Gunn firing got overshadowed this Justin Roiland thing. But because when people found out, people stopped buying. Like, me and Ant noticed the sales were going down. And then even now, Ant's like, yeah, the sales were going down because people were like, yeah, your jokes are funny. You make fart and dick jokes and all this other stuff. The problem is when you go out, your entire joke.
Oh, it was a Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland comedy pilot.
Not Justin Roiland. Fuck, it's Dan Harmon. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was called Daryl. It was a spoof on serial killer dramas like Dexter.
Yeah,
it was both of them.
Yeah.
But it came out in a bad time.
Right.
But if it was a comedy, I mean...
That's the thing. The problem is...
It probably is in poor taste.
Yeah, that's what all it is. Like, that's...
And it also resurfaced from 2009.
Yeah, because it was around the same time James Gunn got fired. Yeah, and
people were looking into cancel culture.
Well, it's not even just that. It's cancel culture. It's not that. And you know what it is? I'm going to call a spade a spade. Yes, people are babies. But the problem is, there's a line... That, yes, you can cross with comedy, but if you're just doing stuff to be offensive, it's not comedy. It's not funny.
Well, Dan Harmon apologized for who he was way back in
the day. Oh, yeah, I know, because he was also going through a divorce at the time.
No, that was not 2009. That was last year. He was going through the divorce 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he went through the divorce 2 or 3 years ago.
Did he also write Moral Oral?
I don't know. He's the guy who does Community.
I know
Rick and Morty, yeah.
I thought he also did Moral Oral.
I don't know Dan Harmon's...
Anyway, but yeah, so that's the thing. That's my problem, my thing about comedy and the way it affects sales of a book.
Yeah, which is what we're tying it back to.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, so the problem is, and this goes for any writing with comic books. You know, say a writer comes out and says something offensive. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, whether it's them trying to be jokey or them trying to you know, push something, you know, their own political belief. You yourself as a fan have to find the line. Mm-hmm. What is your line? If your line, like, and I'll use the Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland thing because it goes back to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When you make a video, even spoofing Dexter, but where he's a serial pedophile rapist that, you know, and that's all the skit is, he goes, I rape rapists, but I also rape girls, like little girls.
I gotta go watch this.
Like, that's the thing. It's not. It's in very bad taste.
I feel like you're also describing it in a weird way.
I'm not. That's the thing. Everyone wants to find a silver lining in people they like because they don't want to see that people
you're
suck.
Right. I'm defending Dan Harmon because I like him. You're
that's right.
Right.
You know, let's go speak. I'm not saying that you're wrong to do
James
it.
James Gunn too.
Yeah. You know, but that's the thing. I have a big problem when it comes to writers and artists coming out and saying stuff and then their fans want to defend them and then they turn around and go, hey, guess what? What they did was wrong and stupid.
Yeah.
And actions have consequences. When you start letting these people do what they want and say what they want without consequences, if it's not in the proper context, if he's on a comedy special and says something offensive on a comedy special.
Yeah, like Dave Chappelle.
Right. That's not a problem to me.
Yeah.
If you just say it as a
part. Because that was in the
moment. It's in the vein of the joke. It's part of it.
The moment of comedy.
Right. Where we were talking about last week with SNL, me and you talked about this on the side.
Yeah, about
that guy.
The guy who got hired at the
and
same
then fired,
time
yeah.
Eastern American guy.
And then he said that word on his podcast, and it was like, oh, well, he did for comedy. Everyone's like, and I'm like, no.
It'd be different, like,
he wasn't saying
exactly
a joke.
Brought up Sticks
yeah.
and Stones.
Yeah, that's when you talk about Sticks and Stones.
Yeah.
Like, it's not comedy.
He said it naturally on his podcast in not a funny way.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Like, at least try.
Like,
I guess.
That's the thing.
Like, what the fuck?
You know, so that's my thing. So when it comes to any writer, and you know when it comes to writers, we've seen people, you know, a writer tweet out something. I'll use the woman who used to write the series of America, for example. She tweeted something about A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez being race traitors because they used to date outside their own race. They're both Puerto Rican. Yeah, this was the thing.
What the fuck kind of tweet is that?
That was the thing. That was the thing.
Race traitors?
I've been called a race traitor.
Who cares who you date?
Well, it's a thing.
I get it. I can believe it.
Yeah.
There are still people in the KKK. I can believe race traitors. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
You know, so that's the thing. Like, so there's a backlash against her for saying that.
Of course there was.
And it should be. Your actions should have consequences.
Yeah.
And it
you
should
said something stupid.
But the problem is, but this is where the line is drawn. As a fan of, so for her saying that and writing a book, you know, yes, that should affect that. Mm-hmm. But the Rick and Morty thing, should his actions affect the sale of the book that he's not writing? Yes, it's inspired by something he created, but he himself isn't writing that book. That's where our world works.
All right, we're changing up the structure of the show today.
Oh, yeah.
We're not doing the topic
right now. I was about to jump on the topic.
Because it ties into our book reviews. But before we do our book reviews, I'm going to give a quick shout-out book review, because Ant told me to do it. Ant likes this book. It's called The Plot. I read it. It's really good. Ant wasn't lying to me.
He didn't make you read it to read it for work?
No. The Plot, It is done by Vault.
Mm-hmm.
It's under their Nightfall line.
Which I never knew.
I think is new.
That's a new one. It's
going to be all horror stuff. Which is good because I'm writing a horror book soon. Ooh, goody. It is written by Tim Daniel and Michael Morikai. If I said it wrong. Morrissey. Fixed it. And it's drawn by Joshua Hickson. It's about this family who runs a pharmaceutical company. And the main character's father dies in a tragic accident. I don't want to spoil it, but it's fucking crazy. Mm-mm. And he has to take over the family pharmaceutical business, but that's not the kind of guy he is. So they go back to live on their old family house, and shit's not okay. It's called The Plot for a reason. It's about the family plot. It's about graves. It's about death. It's about horror. Obviously, it's in the Nightfall line. It's a very horror-esque book, and we know Ant loves that kind of stuff. So when he was talking to me about it a bit ago, and it was just like, this book sounds awesome. So I finally got to check it out. I didn't even know it was coming out today. It's fantastic. I recommend it for you. I recommend it for everybody. Nice, I'm not going to give it a rating because it's not really
all book
part of our books.
But if you did, what would you give it?
Well, Ant gave it a 5.
Yeah.
Ant said it's phenomenal. And he cannot wait for more. And neither can I, honestly. It leaves you with a cliffhanger.
Oh, it does?
It leaves you with a cliffhanger, and I'm like, oh, okay. It leaves you with some stuff. Now, let's get on to our actual book reviews. Thank you, Ant. That book's great. Okay. Now I'm doing Image, Safe Sex, written by Tina Horn, and it is drawn by Michael Dowling.
Before you get into your review, what was it? Why did you pick this book?
Okay, so first I was going to do Transformers Constructed Galaxies, because I like the Constructicons, but then I saw this book was coming out called Safe Sex, and I was like, okay, cool, I remember hearing about this book. You open up the first page, orgy. Second page, girl getting fingered. I was like, what the fuck is happening? A shock factor took over me, and I was like, gotta try this book for the show now.
Like,
it's
yeah.
really good, and it's about society and regulating sex to its own primitive
function, yeah.
Functions, but also in the form of religion.
Oh, wow.
So this woman, so the whole thing is you can't have dirty, deviant sex, basically.
Okay.
You have to have sex, like, missionary style with your lover, sanctioned, and you have to write reports about it because you have to send it into the government, because if you have sex and the government finds out you didn't sanction it, you get arrested. Because this
what?
this one woman...
Oh, by the way, this is the first time I... Normally, yeah. Alright, so, normally how our book reviews work, right before the show, we'll, like, read the book and be like, oh, shit, check this out, and then we'll read each other's books sometimes.
Yeah, we skim it sometimes. That's why we'll also butt in with each other.
Right. This is the first time I've never done that, and this sounds fucking awesome.
It's insane. It's crazy. I thought it was going to be boring at first. I just thought it was going to be like Faithless, just kind of gratuitous sex and weirdness.
Ugh.
This is like, holy crap. Dude, this one, she talks about cum gushing. It's like second sentence, and it's cum gushing.
I wish we had a way. We've got to figure a way to censor some of this
out.
Nah,
dude, it's great. Explicit. I love it.
Yeah, we have super immature. This
beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
So this woman, the bad guy, her name is Mrs. Borman. Boreman, B-O-R-E. Like,
yeah,
boring.
But I immediately thought of...
Like a teacher?
No, World War II things, never mind.
So, the whole thing is she wants to protect children from getting sexually assaulted. She wants to protect people from getting sexually assaulted. She wants to have sex sanctioned out to be for everyone, but also protected and under the eyes of God and the law. She doesn't want people to get violated. She doesn't want sex trafficking to happen. So, she has her own point. But at the same time, they're literally arresting people for not filling out paperwork on sex. They're arresting people for going to orgies and nightclubs. They're arresting people for just random sex crimes. It's like sex criminals, except there's no, like, actual crime being committed.
Right.
It's crime from whatever this book has set up. So, it's really good. The art sometimes lacks on the smaller panels, but that's because they gotta, you know, squeeze it in.
Yeah.
But overall, it's just a great book. And I'm really excited to see where it goes, because, geez, man, this is nuts. Anyway, this book is great. It has no low right. points.
So what's your favorite moment?
Favorite moment? The sexy stuff. No. It's
of course you would.
I really like the writing because it feels real.
Right.
The woman... So usually when people like write sex books, it's always from like the guy's perspective.
Right.
And it's always like, oh, man, I love sex. The toxic masculinity. That's actually what they talk about in this book. They say toxic masculinity ruins sex for people.
It does.
Yeah, because the guys have such a standard from what they've been told growing up and all the saturated media that we get that you sex is like the best thing ever, and for women it's just kind of like, eh. But this, the main character is a woman. She loves sex. She wants to have deviant, disgusting, toy-filled sex with everybody and anyone and everybody. She's a prostitute.
Oh.
She's an ex-prostitute.
Jesus. So
she just wants to just sex all the time.
This episode needs to be censored so bad.
Dude, it'll be beep, 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 sex. Beep, 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 beep. It's just...
Someone definitely needs to be censored.
Nah, it's great.
Nah, really.
I cannot wait to see where this book is going. I don't know if it's a miniseries or not.
That's why we mentioned.
And it also comes with a playlist of music.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
Yeah, I love when they do that. The first one is called Dirty Mind by Prince. And that's the title of that's the name of the strip club, the orgy house they go to, the brothel. Cool. So yeah, I didn't know there was a playlist until I just looked at the end. So yeah, I'm interested in this. Again, I don't know how long it is. I hope it's more than a miniseries, but it's probably a miniseries because the story has one end. The story has an ending that I could already tell. Okay. You can already tell kind of what the ending is. So, 5 out of 5.
This
book is fantastic. James, you got to check it out. You didn't check this one out. You got
to
read it.
No, I'm definitely going to.
So, James, what book did you read?
All right, I'm not responding to anything, but I read Strike Force by Marvel Comics, written by Tini Howard.
And Tini Howard?
Yes, it is.
No way. Dude, she's our new favorite writer.
Yeah, she's
everywhere.
She's our new favorite writer every time we turn around. And art by German Peralta. I butchered your last name. I'm really super sorry.
Peralta.
Peralta, thank you.
Jermaine Peralta.
Jermaine, thank you. I'm like, there's a tilde in there.
It's Jermaine.
I'm like, German? No, thank you. All right, so Strike Force is a spin-off, especially if you're reading Avengers. This is going to be kind of a cool treat. Mm-hmm. It's a direct spin-out from the last couple of stuff that's been going on Avengers lately. I also want to say this. I really like how Marvel's starting to take books and branch them.
Yeah.
By going, all right, cool, you have Avengers. Which I think the last... Oh, like, we have
Dude, I forgot. We have two Strike Force books in quotes. We have Wakanda.
Yeah.
And then we have Strike Force.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
And they're both spinning out of Avengers. Like, yeah, okay. Agents of... Black Panther, Agent of Wakanda spins out of Avengers. This spins out of Avengers.
Yeah, I just put that together as you were saying
that. Which is cool. This is going to be a little bit different. We were talking about this and our theories about this book beforehand.
We think it's X-Force.
It's not.
But Avengers.
It's not.
But it's not. That's but what it's I think
not.
It was.
After reading the issue, like, the way they promoted this book, so the big thing is that the way they promoted that book, like, promotion-wise, was that they were like, the X-Force for the Avengers.
That's how we thought it was.
Yeah.
And they kind of said it's the Avengers team that does everything they have to do.
Yeah, the world's deadliest.
Which is what the X-Men,
but they were like,
X-Force is.
But they were like, you have Savage Avengers, though.
Like, yeah, Savage Avengers, like, the gruesome shit.
Yeah.
Wolverine, Punisher, Venom.
Yeah. Like, so.
There's also a lot of people's, like, sidekicks.
Not really.
Not sidekicks. A lot of, like, B-team stuff.
Yeah, they are.
That's what I meant.
So, the team, let me just go down to you. The team is, real quick. For those who don't remember the promo stuff, you had Blade, which is who the leader...
Who was spinning out of Vampire Wars.
And from
just
last...
Just how Black Panther War was Realms. Spinning out of the War Realms as well, yep. In his own book, which is so funny.
Angela. Spectrum, which is Monica.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier, Spider-Woman, Wiccan, and Damien Hellstrom.
Yeah, Hellstrom.
And again, Hellstrom was in...
I don't like his redesign, though.
I like. Well, I said that too because he was literally in like the last three issues of Avengers.
Yeah, he was.
So this has to take place after the.
It takes place after the Avengers thing.
It's like Road to Hellock.
Yeah.
It has to because he's in the last two issues.
Or it takes place like right in the middle because he's not in this new issue, and neither is Blade.
But it takes place Blade left. In the middle of Blade had left.
He left after Secret Wars. War of Realms.
But then they talk about because they called him back in this one.
Yeah.
So he left after War of Realms and came back for this. But again.
He lands on the table.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's
all. But Damien is the... Damien makes sense because he was in, like, literally the last issue of Avengers, yeah. And then this happening.
Yeah, his redesign is really
I don't like
weird.
The new redesign.
He's got, like, pointy ears, which he always kind of
had. He always had, but,
he has
like...
a goatee and he's bald now.
Bald now. It's
literally the opposite. They took his head and put it on the bottom.
Well, that's what it is. They made him more... They went from... Instead of making him, like, how his old design was very classic demonic, red hair, pointy ears, and a goatee.
He was also kind of good-looking.
Yeah. So okay. Now...
But now they're going to make him look weird, and he's got a new show coming out where he's definitely going to be, like, teen heartthrob.
Well, yeah.
Kind of like how Lucifer is.
Yeah.
I think, what's it, Tom something?
I don't know. Anyway, so...
Sorry.
What the book's going to be about, it does a really cold opening, which is actually really explained throughout the entire issue. Like, mm-hmm. Why... There's a bunch of people gathering the worst viruses in the world. And then you find out the Avengers are called to a scene, and they realize these people are there. Mind Sting Blade. The people that are there are going to be Spider-Woman, Angela, Bucky, everyone I mentioned besides Damian. Blade's called in to figure out what's going on. And then he takes his team on a... They are claiming they are framed, and Blade's going to go on the journey with them to prove their innocence.
Okay.
And that's without spoiling anything in the series. There are a lot of nods to what's cool about this. Is a lot of nods to War of Realms in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of...
spinning out of the Avengers.
Yeah, there's a lot of nods to Death's Head, with Wiccan being in the book.
Nice.
There are nods to every one of these characters. There's a nod to something else.
Yeah, Winter Soldier's probably talking about Invaders.
Not really, actually they don't.
But they probably don't want to spoil the ending.
Yeah, that's why.
Or it takes place in a quote-unquote different continuity.
Oh, does it?
Or an adjacent timeline. Because Captain America's not even talking about it in his book. Now, he's captain of nothing.
Not adjacent timeline. What it means is just happening. It's happening at a different point. That's how comics all work.
Yeah, I know.
They're happening at different points.
Justice League and Batman take place in way different times.
Exactly. So, what's cool about this, I do like the last page of it. Not the story, but the actual breakdown of the characters. And you know damn well this book wants to be a mature reader book.
Yeah.
Like, they push it where, as hard as they can go to being a max book without being max. Like, you know they want to say the word fuck.
Yeah.
Like, the entire episode, like, the entire thing, I'm like, they're just censoring the
They say
out.
Fuck too many times in Safe Sex.
Oh, my God. You know what I was thinking of? Sorry.
Oh, no.
You didn't read Batman Superman this week, did you?
I don't read that book in general.
All right, I got to show you something in that book later.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they definitely go for the, let's push this as, let's be X-Force, but not X-Force. But, with this book, I definitely do.
Let's not be X-Force, let's be Strike Force.
Yeah. Hell, yeah. It is very much underdog class team story.
Would you have to have read Avengers to really understand anything? Okay.
No, they explain all the characters.
They give you the notes too.
Yeah, they give you the BS notes type of, this is why these characters are here. This is who each of these guys are. Because like, if you weren't reading, if you don't know who Angela is, you didn't read War of Realms, you're like, who's this broad?
Was she in War of the Realms at all?
I don't remember now.
I don't remember.
It's we talked about, we hyped up War of Realms months ago, and I can't remember now.
Yeah,
my brain's fried.
Go watch the wrap up party. See if we talk about anything.
Yeah, if you want to know more War of Realms, because it does tie into this book, by the way.
Wrap up party
as a Fallout book. This is a Fallout book from War of Realms, by the way.
It makes sense.
A big part of this book is based on the War of Realms.
It was called War of the Realms Strike Force, and they took the literal logo for that and made it that logo.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
But yeah,
it was also announced after.
It's a Blade Fallout book from War of Realms.
Well, because Blade hasn't been in a book besides
Avengers.
A while. Blade hasn't
For a while, yeah. It's a great book. It's a kind of that. I don't see this running more than its initial arc, honestly, unless they make them. And this is a minor spoiler. They're not sanctioned by the Avengers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't see it being more than a miniseries.
I could see it being like the Thunderbolts, where they kind of like go, they do one thing, and then right at the end, it's like, here's a new mission, and they go do another thing.
Right.
It's like, oh, here's something that popped up.
I hope this if
or
this
maybe
is
the Avengers sanctioned
like
the
yeah
at the end.
By issue 6, like T'Challa makes them their own Avengers Strike Force team, where they're going to be doing things the Avengers can't handle.
Yeah.
But then you also have Agent Wakanda that do that, but on a different scale.
Yeah, this is weird. I don't know what this book stands in a weird void because Wakanda came out a week before it.
Yeah.
I think
one of those books has gotten in
the
series.
We have to see how this goes out.
Well, all right. Agent Wakanda makes sense, and I'll compare both of them. Because it's kind
you
of...
also covered both of them.
Right.
Which is funny. I totally...
Agent of Wakanda makes sense that it's going to be...
They're the CIA compared to the X-Force.
Right.
Kind of how the X-Force book is CIA and fighting stuff.
Right.
Okay. They're just taking it and mashing it together.
Yes. Where instead of where the new Jonathan Hickman X-Force, Dawn of X, X-Force book is the CIA and it's their operatives and intelligence wrapped together.
This is two books separate.
This is two separate books where Wakanda, Agent of Wakanda are your CIA operatives and your people fighting missions. This is your Black Ops team.
Yeah. This is for sure Black Ops, even if they're not sanctioned yet.
Right. So even if they get sanctioned, say by issue 6, every arc is going to be a different mission they go on and it's going to be more magical based. There will be, like, the magical base. Like, how Justice League Dark is, this is your magical-based Avengers.
Okay.
So that's my only way this theory would work, where it works where, how you're comparing it to DC, where you have Justice League, Justice League Dark, and Justice League Odyssey, where Odyssey's your space team, Justice League's your overall team,
and Dark
and Dark is
your
magic team.
Yeah, and also, it's also, they're kind of like their co-op, their Spec Ops team.
Yeah. Can they do things behind the scenes? Yeah, where people don't really see. This would make sense to do this as...
Is Wonder Woman on both teams?
On Justice League, and she's on Justice League, and she's on Dark. That's an annoying... She's the leader of Dark.
Yeah, that's an annoying continuity issue.
Yeah, but you just ignore when you're reading comics. Yeah. But that's why I think... I hope this opens that up, the Avengers. So you have the Avengers, and you have Strike Force. Mm-hmm. And then they can rotate... They can make this, like, another rotating magical people team.
Yeah, because that's more of, like... That's kind of... It reminds me of Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
Except it has Winter Soldier.
It's a way to doing Midnight Suns without calling Midnight Suns.
Yeah. Because they definitely want to do Midnight Suns, but they might just call that Thunderbolts, if the way the Punisher book is going.
Yeah.
We'll see how issue 16 ends, and we'll see
so, the January I'll do my favorite scene, and I'll do my rating, because I don't want a tangent.
What's your least favorite stuff
about this? Least favorite stuff about it?
It's just got a weird in between.
Yeah, it's
like a weird void of
I just read Agent of Wakanda. Yeah, and I feel like I'm reading the same type of story.
Yeah,
that's my low point. With a
different coat of paint.
Yeah, it's the same house. It's just that instead of it being blue, it's green. It doesn't. Yeah. That's my problem with the book. As much as you want to say this is the darker, stronger, darker edge of your team, I don't see
it's
that.
It's also like reading Savage Avengers.
Right, kind of like the I same have stuff. Right. You want darker, stronger,
Savage Avengers, Agents of Wakanda, and Strike Force. You're reading the same book but different colors.
Yeah, the only difference between like Savage, I can understand the difference between Savage Avengers and
Wakanda.
Agent of Wakanda, because Agent of Wakanda are officially sanctioned by the Avengers.
But Savage Avengers and Strike Force are very similar.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah, they're the edgy teams. And again, if you read Savage Avengers, you don't need Strike Force. Mm. You didn't need to put this book out. You could have made that authorized Avengers team by the end of the arc.
We'll see how this one goes.
But yeah, that's my only downside.
I just feel like Savage
Avengers. I feel like I'm reading. I feel like no, they're still solidity. They're still going.
No, not soon, but like issue 12.
Yeah, that's my thing. I feel like we're getting with the Strike Force. I'm getting the same story like I got in Agent Wakanda. Where I'm getting it in like they took Agent Wakanda and Savage Avengers and mashed them together, and this is that book.
What's your favorite part?
Oh, they do a flashback when Blade.
Oh, I saw. Yeah,
where he talks about like he talks about the bad guys when he first meets them in the series, and he has his old like.
Yeah,
Fro and his green outfit, his bright green outfit.
So fucking awesome.
And it's his
I wish he had that more often.
So that was my favorite thing. It was just a cool throwback that these bad guys have been around this entire time.
And then what would you get out of 5 then? Because it seems
I give it like a 4.5. I was gonna say,
it seems like a 4 for you. 4.53. What? You mean like 3.54?
Yeah, 3.54.
Yeah, okay.
This is a very average book. It's a very average book. Like, nothing was like super mega crazy for me.
Except for that ending.
But for the ending, okay, it's cool. Little cute little nod. But yeah. I'm like, all right, I get what they're kind of going with the story, but I have Agent Wakanda if I want to do the same type of thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about Harleen. Don't worry, I didn't totally just tell James about me shitting, it's fine. Yeah, I had to pause the podcast mid-stream because I had to go take a shit. So yeah, back now. We're going to talk about Harleen from Black Label.
You also look super sweaty.
It was hot in there. It's a small room. And the fan doesn't blow on you. The fan sucks out the bad stuff. So it's not like it's a cool room to be in.
Oh, shit.
Give me Harleen.
It's fine.
Written and drawn by Stepan Sejic.
Who did one of my favorite books, Sunstone.
Sunstone, Switch, and he just does
a bunch of
He's great
art.
On Twitter. He's great on Twitter.
He art for... He was doing the cover off for Aquaman for a long time.
Yeah, he did a couple interiors back in issue 30 to like 36 or something.
I thought he did just like dark interior. He did one of the interiors for something.
He did interiors for Aquaman for a tiny bit.
Besides that.
During his,
I know, but before that.
Oh, I think it was Justice League Dark. Anyway, Harleen is the newest Black Label book. And yes, before anyone asked, it's magazine size, and we fucking hate it. But it's fine, because it's a pretty good book. The book's okay. I have my gripes with
it. All right, so... Like all Sora books, we won't spoil it. This is just, and it's not hard to spoil this book.
Because it's Harley. Most people know it already.
Yeah.
It's the origin of Harley Quinn. Now, here's my complaint. It's boring. Is it well written?
Yes.
Is it informative on the characters you might not know about?
Yes.
Is there action? Not really.
Nah, it's not much.
There's a couple scenes in the middle where Batman's fighting Joker, and that's about it. But the only good thing, like we said about Romita and Miller's magazine-sized Superman Year One, the art
makes it so good.
It's so good with the magazine size.
Yeah.
I just don't like magazine size
books. I don't either.
Where the fuck do they go in your shelf?
Like, it doesn't... That's the whole thing. So...
Marvel doesn't do it.
We don't have to worry We don't have to worry about spoilers. We can talk about it real quick. The synopsis of the book is Harley Quinn's origin, in which it's a reminiscing of what... It opens up with a dream, and then leads up to showing what she's going to become, and the entire series is a kind of like a year one Harley Quinn book.
Yeah, I think she's talking to a shrink about what her life's been
like. Or she's talking to herself.
I think it's a shrink.
Yeah.
Or it's a mirror version of herself as the shrink.
Yeah.
What's cool is you get to see a lot of older characters. Like, you see Lucius Fox when he's young.
Yeah.
How old is Harley Quinn in this, though? Because Lucius is old in most continuity.
She just got out of college.
And she's 19 in this, I think.
She's either 19... She's
19 or 20.
21. She's got to be, like, 21 because she's drinking in one of the scenes.
Oh, yeah. She's in a bar.
Yeah. She's at least 21 in the story.
Yeah.
And she just finished college, so 21.
They also make her, like, right when they're introduced to each other, she's in love with him. It's just
that weird. I don't like. So, this is the thing. The problem is they make her pathologically in love with him from the get-go. There's no build-up for their relationship.
She's also really boring when she's not...
The story is boring!
Because, like...
It's boring!
It's mostly just them sitting and talking in a room, and it's not even just her and Joker. It's her and literally everyone else but the Joker for, like, the longest time.
And it's fine.
She's not funny. She's not interesting. She's just kind of plain Jane, and then she finds the Joker, and then she becomes an interesting character. Why write a book about someone who's boring?
It's not that.
Like, I don't get it.
No, it's not that... It's not that she's boring.
And we're not shitting on the writing of the book.
No.
We're just shitting on, like, just the
Because we're so used to Harley Quinn...
being crazy and fun.
Because that's post-origin.
Yeah.
Her pre-origin stuff... Like, the only times where they've alluded where she was a little bit, different was in the Pomati run of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Where they explain where she's always been different. She's never been, like, the straight-laced character. In fact, her sleeping with the teacher is actually right out of Mad Love.
Oh, it runs into place.
But also, it
falls into place.
Yeah.
It falls into place with the continuity of what Harley Quinn is.
She's not morally there all the time. But that's fine. We're not, as people, we're not. And that's what makes a good writer.
She's also pretty blunt.
I like that, though, about this version of her.
Joker makes it apparent. He's like, wow, you're just jumping into it. Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't mind that. I like that part of it. My problem with the book is that you're telling... It's not like you're adding anything different to her origin. As far as we know right now, we're only on issue one.
Yeah, from what we know, the only addition, I think, to the origin is...
The Harvey Dent thing.
The Harvey Dent thing, and then the Hugo Strange naming her Quinzel on the board.
Yeah.
Which is fun. But everything else seems kind of like copy-paste Harley Quinn.
It's like,
I really want to see where that Dent storyline goes.
That's the only thing I find interesting. Because
he's not Two-Faced yet, he's just Dent.
Yeah, so my thing is... My problem with this issue is that it's a rehash. It's a adult, more adult version of Mad Love,
mm-hmm.
And I don't want that. Mad Love for that.
You wanted your own story for Harley Quinn,
right?
I also think the problem with the Harley Quinn Black Label book is there's going to be two more.
That yeah, and they're and this thing like this and just like Criminal Insanity, they're both exploring Harley Quinn and Joker's relationship.
This is a before. Criminal Insanity, I think, is a during.
Yeah. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I don't think we have... The problem I have with this book is that they're not doing anything different. You're not going, this is Harley Quinn beforehand, and it's a completely different origin or a different background or whatever. This is her just telling the same story we've heard a million times over about her origin. I can get the trade of Mad Love and read it more.
Anyway, yeah, no, I get what you're saying about the Harley Quinns. I just think... In a market so saturated with Harley Quinn stuff, adding two or three more books is just going...
Yeah, and if they're all telling the same kind of story, it takes away from each one telling their story.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to see where this goes.
I also want to see the, pun intended, budding relationship between her and Poison Ivy. Because she does make a quick Poison Ivy appearance.
Yeah.
And we know Stefan loves to do Harley Quinn Poison Ivy stuff.
Yeah.
So I do want to see, like, in issue 2, if they're more friendly, and then in issue 3, or however long this one is,
I think it's three.
They're, like, super friendly, and then she goes crazy at the end, and she's like, oh, hey, and you know.
Yeah.
I think that'll be kind of fun.
See, that's cool.
And I also want to see the Dent stuff.
See, that's where I...
My problem is, everything is good but the Joker stuff.
Yeah, because we've heard her a million times, and it didn't make sense when we were younger, and it doesn't make sense now.
It's her relationship with every inmate. with Zaz, because everyone, every time you do an Arkham story, you gotta talk about Zaz. Yeah. It's kind of, like, commonplace.
Yeah.
But she talk, they talk to Dent, because mm-hmm. he's, like, governor, DA, stuff time. Like that. Harley, Poison Ivy, because they're so connected.
Yep.
And then Killer Croc.
Yeah.
One, because he's Killer Croc, and two, because he's Suicide Squad.
Squad, yeah.
So it's cool to see interactions with those characters.
When they're younger, which I like. You
not
know,
too much younger.
Not too much younger, but they're younger. This is before, like, she got to really know them. So she had a she had a relationship with these guys before.
Yeah, it's cool to see that she's already kind of friendly with them.
Yeah.
Because she's not mean.
No.
She's kind of nice to them.
That's the thing. I like her dynamic in the book, where she's just a person. And it's cool to see she's just a person. But it's also boring because she's a person.
Yeah, if this wasn't a Harley Quinn book, and this was just, like, a book about a psychiatrist, I kind of think it would be cool.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, we're seeing
you can build
all the bad guys through the eyes of a regular psychiatrist instead of seeing through the eyes of a character we already know for like 30 years.
Yeah, which is going to become something.
Yeah.
You know
and they hint at it in like the first five pages. They're like, this is what I become. And it's like, well, first of all, spoiler.
Yeah, like, and we know that. Like,
they tell you straight
up. And that's the thing. We know he's not changing anything in the origin.
You know. He's not changing, besides them meeting, I think, earlier. I think she's younger. She's younger. Which I think this is kind of weird and kind of like bad for the times we live in. She's 21, fresh out of college, and she's into older dudes. They make a note about that. And Joker's obviously older. It's like a power thing.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I never liked the power.
I'm gonna go into that more.
Abuse
when
of
you
power,
talk,
kind of what it is. I kind of don't like it.
And it's true. I agree with you. I think, and we might as well jump into our topic of the day.
Our topic of the day.
Oh wait, before we did that.
Oh yeah.
Out of five, what do you give it?
It's boring, but it's well written. Okay. I don't want to give it a 3 or 3.5 because that just seems like it's just like an average book. It's a well-written book and there's a lot to discuss, but it's just so overdone that it's like, so it's like a 3.5,
4. I'm going to give it a 3.5 also.
It's like 3.5,
4. 3.5, 4. Because
and the art's fantastic. And for him to do both is crazy.
Yeah, I love that fact he's doing the subject's doing the art and the writing. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I feel like
The freaking spread page of the Bat Demon in it.
Oh, the Bat Demon was great. Yeah,
that's freaking amazing.
Batman looks good too.
Even the scene where it has the
Joker in the explosion.
Or the flash forward.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, his art's great, but that's not what we're talking about, really.
Right,
it's his story. How he does it.
He's
not changing anything besides the abuse of powers, age difference.
Yeah, and it's
and we don't even know how old Joker is. We know he's like 30 or something because he's like as old as Bruce.
That's what it is. I don't get. Why? I understand, like, because Cedric does relationship stories.
Always
he does relationship stories. He's
Switch,
and he's good
Sunstone,
at it.
And Aquaman. Because Aquaman and his arc was the Aquaman and Dolphin slash
Mira.
Breaking up with Mara arc.
Yeah.
Well, not breaking up, but, like, rough marriage.
Yeah. So this, I understand, there's nothing on relationship, which is right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And this is what makes that's why the writing's so good in the book. The problem is, we have that story. Paul Dini told that story years ago in Mad Love.
We have the Connor and Pagliotti stuff.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Give me something different. And it goes back to the Strike Force stuff. Same story, same house, different paint.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I don't want that.
So our topic
is the
rise of Harley Quinn as a character just in general.
And what makes her stand out and what makes her different. And some of her
And what makes her the same as some people that we'll get to later.
Yeah. So I want to do a quick history of Harley Quinn.
You guys don't know who she is.
Not even know if you don't know her background, besides, like, unless you only know her from the comic books. Like, if you're younger than Hunter, you know, or you're about Hunter's age, you may not know the ATS very well, or that she came from. So, back in 1993-94, Batman the Anime Series brought an episode called... It was in 1992, and the episode was called Joker Favor, which introduced Harley Quinn as a kind of love interest for the Joker.
And to humanize his counter. To humanize
his it was
dad,
a way also for standards and practices for them to go, hey, he has a sidekick now.
Yeah.
And also sell more toys.
So Robin has someone to fight when he fights the Joker.
And also has to sell more toys.
Yeah,
and a character to
always appeal.
And a character to appeal towards women. Besides badly, because she's a bad role model, but I'll get to that in a second.
Well, she's a doctor.
And that's as far as I'm going to take that. So, her next appearance in comic books was in 1993, which was Batman Adventures 12. That was her first comic appearance, but not DC canon line books. Then it wasn't until 1995, I want to say, but let me just double check. In 1994, DC put a graphic novel called Mad Love, which I've been ranting about this entire time, which is her origin, her classic origin, her origin told and set in DC canon proper. And then after that graphic novel, her first appearance was in Batman No Man's Land, right during the earthquake story. Her background in Mad Love, and I'll give her a DC canon origin, just like it's in Harleen, in this week's Black Label book, is that Dr. Harleen Quinzel was a psychiatrist that eventually ends up working for Arkham Asylum, where she meets the Joker, who is a patient, who ends up being a patient of ours. Depending on which continuity is, it depends on how they actually met. Sometimes she was the one that's coming up. The other Harleen book, what's the other one? Not Criminal Sanity. I think it's Criminal Sanity. The
Broken
one
Broken Glass.
No, it's Criminal Sanity. Okay. Criminal Sanity.
So Broken Glass is the ink one.
Yeah. Criminal Sanity is where she's a forensic scientist, or not forensic scientist, Criminal Minds type of thing, and she's hunting down a serial killer, and that's before she meets a Joker, type of thing. But yeah, so she's always the two of them always have interconnection. Depending on what continuity it is, she's just a girl that dresses up as in the Justice outfit and goes on, or she's pushed into the vat, as in seen in Suicide Squad movie, in Harleen, and in Batman Rebirth. She's actually based on Arlene Sorkin, who is also her original voice actress in the Batman animated series. This all came about because Bruce Timm, the creator of Batman the animated series, and the illustrator for most of it, he designed the characters for it. He saw Arlene play a jester in a dream sequence on Days of Our Lives. And that was the inspiration for Joker, like that crazy, zany clown. And it played very well off of Joker's highly psychotic behavior.
Yeah.
So, that's a basic rundown of her in a very quick nutshell. Of course, there's more. There's other stories and other moments, like the Pomades run on Harley Quinn and stuff like that, but we'll get to that in a second. So, Rise of Harley Quinn. Harley herself...
She kind of became really, really popular back in New 52.
Yes.
She's always been popular throughout the years because she's a fun character, but New 52 kind of took her in a new direction where, besides the Suicide Squad stuff, because she's always been separate from the Joker during those, but during New 52's run with Conan and Polyami, they had... Harley had her own solo book.
She had on and off. She had her own... She's always had a solo series since around there. She's always had a solo series. Okay. The problem is, she was always relegated outside of a solo series to being a side character in any book she was part of. So the problem is, you go from a character that was a sidekick to Joker to giving her own book because she was the comic relief funny character to give her own book to explore the funny side, adding humor to other events in DC through her series, her book series. And then the biggest push was in Suicide Squad and Rebirth.
And in New 52.
Which also was a massive broke her backlash.
Apart. Yeah, they broke her apart from the Joker and essentially turned her into Deadpool.
Yes.
Which is why I always complain about her.
She was always kind of like Deadpool.
Not as much as she is right now. She is the most like Deadpool that I've ever seen, that Marvel actually had to make a character based off Harley Quinn. Which is Gwenpool.
Right. And it's true. And again, this is not me hating on...
I'm still waiting for DC's answer to Gwenpool. It's Harley Quinn Jr. Like,
it's true.
It's nuts. Yes, I know the characters are different. Their origins are all different, but it's just so... It's so obvious.
Of course.
What it is.
So...
Which is why I have a certain stigma towards Gwenpool as well.
Yeah.
And they make a joke about it in the new Gwenpool Strikes Back issue. Issue 2. They make a joke because she meets Deadpool in that one.
Yeah, true.
And she's like, a lot of people say we're the same, but we're not. There's different stuff, and blah, blah, blah. Right.
So, the rise of Harley Quinn entails really, like, two steps. One was the anime series.
Well, yeah, that was her introduction to the world.
Introduction to the world. She was a fun character. She wasn't... Yes, when we were kids, yes, that relationship was very messed up, and she's not a great role model. But she was a cool character.
She's become a good role model. Okay, now. I would say good. I would say a better role model now. She's turned herself around. She's still a psychotic killer. But she does it for justice.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah, she doesn't.
My big thing is this. So, she's like, growing up, we had the anime series growing up. And what made her such a good character is that she, the moments where she was clarity, where she had clarity, or the moments that she gave levity to Joker, and really the moments where she had clarity, were the moments where, like, wow, she's such a great character.
You know, and she was funny and nice. Like Harley Quinn was the moments where she would talk to Batman.
Yeah.
And not bullshit with him and actually, like, be, like, a genuinely fucked up individual.
Yeah.
Like, it goes, like, as much as a lot of people didn't really like the Batman Harley Quinn movie that came out recently,
I liked it.
I thought the.
It was great.
Relationship between them was good.
Yeah.
Besides her totally having sex with Nightwing.
That was weird.
That scene, it was weird. But then again, Batman had sex with Barbara and Killing Joke, so whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing.
Tit for tat, I guess.
I think the whole thing with Harley Quinn, I think a lot that her what helped her rise is that she was an anime series character first. And then, because let's be honest, even people that don't read comics know Harley Quinn.
Yeah, because she's in the movies and the TV shows.
Yeah, guess what? Started off as a TV show character. Yeah. And then it wasn't until later on she got popular as a comic book character. And I'm grateful that they took her character and did something better with her.
You know, I like a lot the... So one book that's going on right now, it's the sequel to it. And what made me really like Harley Quinn, besides just her solo book, it's when she gets real, like I said before, it's good. The book, The Original White Knight.
Okay.
When, after you find out that there's two Harleys, Batman approaches the old Harley and... Not old, but like...
Yeah, the original.
The old Harley Quinn. And they have like a real heart-to-heart. She doesn't, like... She just talks... She's not afraid of Batman.
Yeah.
They make her just go, yeah, that whole stuff doesn't work on me. I'm used to it. Like, you're not scary. Just let's be real. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
And even though that Batman is like kind of a dick...
Yeah.
It's a good heart-to-heart. And I do like how Harley's like, hey, he's not a bad guy. He's good to me sometimes, but it's medication. It's this. He's fucked up. Like,
it was cool.
He really loves me sometimes. And we see, like, the flashbacks where he's, like, holding her legs and crying and saying, like, please don't leave me. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
That gives you Harley Quinn isn't actually, like, the worst character ever. She's not just a Deadpool clone.
Yeah.
She's actually, like, oh, man, she's a real character.
She's a real person. And that's the thing, I think...
Which is why I hope this book fucking does.
Yeah.
If this book doesn't have Joker, like, break down in front of her,
I'm gonna be pissed. I don't need Joker to break down. I need her to nut up to Joker.
Nut up? Yeah. She's gotta... I feel like she'll stand up... No, no. God, no. She's not gonna stand up to him. She'll stand up to him in probably Criminal Insanity.
Yeah.
Because
that definitely will see that.
That's Jeff Lemire, and I feel like he's gonna make her a fighter.
Yeah.
In this one... And kind of like the Batman Telltale game.
Yeah.
Joker's in love with her. She could not give a shit.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Oh, you haven't played it? Oh, dude. Season 2. I'm playing through it right now.
That's the thing. I don't mind Cedric doing it because, again, he writes relationships, so he does different types of relationships. This is the broken relationship.
Yeah.
The one-sided relationship, the obsessive relationship. Yeah. I don't mind him exploring it. It's just we know that. Because that's her story for years.
I want a Harley Quinn story, and I haven't read all the New 52 and Rebirth stuff, but I want a book where she kind of doesn't give a fuck about Joker in the slightest.
We get that. We have that now.
We got that
in the beginning of New 52. Not with Suicide Squad.
No, it was at the end. It was the Joker Returns arc. Because I remember.
Yeah, it was after he got killed. His face got torn off. It was after the family.
Yeah. And it's the whole Joker Returns arc.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I don't need you. She tries to kill him.
Yeah, I love all that.
The whole arc, she tries to
kill him. That's what makes her such a good... This is why she's a better role model now than what she was before. And the problem was... She was an obsessive,
abused
character, which is nothing wrong about showing that. Show that stuff. It's reality.
Mm-hmm. The worst thing to come out of the Joker-Harley relationship is everyone trying to aspire to be them.
Yeah, and like...
Where he's not, like, in love with her, but, like...
he loves
her. He doesn't beat the shit out of her.
Yeah, like, Well, no, he did throw out a window in a couple episodes.
Yeah, but
he did try to kill her a couple episodes, because when she beat...
That's funny cartoon stuff.
No, actually, the whole point of the episode was that Harley beat Batman, and Joker was so mad that he threw out the window, and then Batman escapes
and he goes up to her,
and she goes...
That's the episode where they have the heart-to-heart.
Yeah, when she's laying in the street, and he goes up to her, and he's like... And she's like, oh, I thought he loved me. All I wanted to do was make him happy. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa!
Yeah. But, anyway, there are some Jokers... There's a Joker who actually likes her, and there's not...
Best thing, and even beyond her and Joker...
Jeff Johns, give us three Jokers.
Even beyond her and Joker relationship, because she is her own character, I think the whole point is why her rise to fame was there, because you had a character that was female-led that did everything the guys did.
And she was also overcoming an abusive relationship. Right. And a lot of those stories are really good.
Right. And when she is overcoming that stuff, that's what people should aspire to. Yeah. Not the
overcome abuse. That's what people need.
That's what her story is. It's the overcoming the obsessive and the abusive part of her relationship. Tell that story. Do that story. That's great. Yeah. Do it. Oh, yes, you have to show the backstory part of it. Yes.
Yeah. We're complaining about this book because it's a prequel.
Yeah.
But it's still, it adds to the lore in its own way.
Yeah, it does.
It's just a rehash.
You know, that's my thing. That's the only problem with the book is that it's Mad Love over again.
Yeah.
You know, but that's
Mad Love with a new coat of paint.
Right. So then we hit the New 52 where she became, the biggest problem with her New 52 is where.
She became Deadpool.
Yeah,
she literally, her outfit changed. They the same colors.
Yeah.
Because she's always been red, black with the white makeup. But it kind of reminded me more of a Deadpool aesthetic because she made it armored.
They also super sexualized her.
Yeah, they gave her, she's always.
No, she wasn't.
No, like in that, I'm looking at Dodson. She always kind of sexualized.
Well, no. This is exactly where it comes from. Before that, she only wore the Jester outfit. There was no other outfit she wore.
Oh, yeah.
There was no one. That type of stuff, that's always when artists want to play around with stuff. Yeah. That's the whole joke about the Power Girl thing, the reason why...
Yeah, the boob window.
Yeah, well, no, not the origin of the boob window, of why her bust size is as big as it is that artists would take turns increasing it every issue until the editors finally caught on. That's all that is.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, drawing a sexy lady in a costume is not sexualizing her. Sexualization of a character is when you outright throw out her design, her old design.
And make her like a go-go dancer / roller derby chick.
Not even like, she didn't have, like, that was, would have been fine if it wasn't for Suicide Squad when the opening of New 52 is like the booty shorts and the corset
I thought you were talking about her New 52 run of her regular book.
Oh, no.
What I think is really weird is they never had the same continuity in that book.
That's fine.
The current Harley Quinn books always have her with the black and the red hair.
Yeah.
And, like, the black and the red outfit. And then you jump to the Suicide Squad books, and she always has, like, blue and red hair, which kind of matches the movie.
Yeah, that's why.
But those books came out before the movie.
It doesn't matter. It's just an aesthetic thing.
I like to think it's two different Harley Quinns.
Nah, because, like, I wish it was that, too.
Because, like, how is one in San Francisco and one in Task Force X, and they don't make any mentions of the bomb neck?
I mean, not for nothing, they do that with the Rogues, too. Captain Cold, Boomerang, get guy like, it's one of those comic book things.
I know. Like, I want to see, like, an explanation for it. If there's three Jokers, why don't I have two Harleys? We had two Harleys.
You would have to have
them. We had two Harleys in White Knight.
You would have to have them. Two of every character that's on Suicide Squad, then.
No, because Deadshot makes appearances in books and talks about Task Force X.
He talks about Task Force X, but he also
he has the bomb in his neck.
Yeah, he would make... Well, yeah, because he's a mercenary. That's the difference between him and Killer Croc.
Killer Croc talks about it, too, whenever he gets to talk.
He's in He's Gotham City Monster right now. If he was running around and Amanda Waller knew he was running around without her permission...
Gotham City Monsters, you even said, takes place during Event Leviathan.
No, it takes place during... it takes place
after. Yeah, that's why he's able to run around.
He's able to do that. That's why.
Scratch that
one. But, I mean, before that, though.
Yeah.
But, again, that's just comic books being comic books. Don't worry about that.
I know, but I like to think this, too. Because it looks so different.
It's not two. You know it's one.
I know.
But that's the thing. So, my biggest thing, her biggest
rise... The problem with that book is, it's a good book... It's well written. It's fun. It's just they made her too sexy with the outfits.
Suicide?
New 52.
Oh, yeah.
New 52, they got sexier and sexier, and then they figured it out, and they're like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
And then with the comic book, Suicide Squad started out with sexiness.
Yeah.
And they did that in the movie.
Yeah.
They had Margot Robbie like, what are you looking at?
Like,
the booty shorts and the fishnets?
Yeah, I was like, you didn't have to do that. You could have just done class. Now, I'm not saying just her outfit, Holly, but, you know, something similar to what she's wearing now in Rebirth.
Yeah, it's like, it's... Sexualized, but
sexy.
Armor.
You can do sexy. You can do sexy strong. Not there's a
like
lot.
And
me, Bob, Ryan, and Ant have had this conversation.
I believe that.
You can do sexy, and then you can do sexy strong. And it doesn't have to be body armor. It doesn't have to be something
Captain
massive.
Marvel,
Wonder Woman, sexy strong. She-Hulk, sexy strong.
Remember
not McGinnis's version.
Yeah, I was saying when she punched the hole out in the floor and made a boob window.
I mean, not that either.
That was Invincible Man, her prime. Oh, man, so good.
Yeah. That's the thing. So, you have to... There's a level of sexy and strong. The problem is they went straight for sexy for her. And I'm like, don't do that.
Spot, at least.
Yeah, like, don't do that.
And they went sexy strong and Harley Quinn and sexy.
Say that the big part for Harley Quinn is that when she... They started putting her on teams... Is what made her a better character.
Yeah, because she had more of the dynamic.
Like, with
she
her
in... When she's in Suicide Squad, she barely talks about Joker.
When she was in Gotham City Sirens. When she was in Birds of Prey.
When she's going to be in another Birds of Prey.
And then she's going to be
in the
Black Label Birds of Prey. She's going to be in the movie. You know, when she's on a team, I think she's a better character. Besides her solo run right now,
Yeah.
Which has been great. Oh, man. Like, spoiler alert, her mom has cancer in the book, and then she dies when in the series. And, like, last issue. Like, during the whole You're the Villain thing, when Lex is offering her...
broken stuff.
Yeah, I was like, because the scene where, like...
Because I know she does, like, a robot Harley she's fighting, and then also she does, like, future stuff, and Old Lady Harley came out, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yes, but it's there's a scene in it in the Year of the Villain where Lex is like, I'm going to cure mom of cancer.
And she's like, don't, though.
But they're like, oh, well, I'm going to make you a stronger villain. If you team up with me, I'll make you a stronger villain, but I'll also give you mom cancer. And she's like, I'll cure mom of cancer. And she's like, my mom wouldn't want me to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how my mom would want it. And then she now has to carry the guilt that she could have saved her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire thing after her and mom died. Guess
what that is? Good writing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal writing. It's phenomenal
that
writing.
That goes back to my whole thing. Sam Humphries making her character. This oh, Humphries?
Humphries is doing
this
wrong.
I thought it was Frank Terry. No. That was Old Lady Harley.
Yep. Humphries is doing this
Humphries is great. Humphries, I'm going to shit on him for 2 seconds. He ruined one of my ideas. I was adjacent thinking with him. The whole fanboys versus zombies. I had an idea about like a conpocalypse. And then you were like, fanboys versus zombies. I was like, oh, what is that? I looked it up. It's Sam Humphries. Adjacent thinking. Sorry, yep. Sam Humphries. Good writer. Fuck you.
But yeah, so I think her popularity does come from the fact that she is a very strong character. And there are moments...
Recently, it's become...
And it has become more recently, and it really
back
does...
in the day, it was just because she was like a hot clown girl.
Yeah, whatever. It was... Well, her popularity among men... Well, men, because she was a hot clown girl. Among women, because she was just a fun and goofy character.
Now she's a character you can look up to.
And yeah, now...
I mean...
Minus the movie... I don't like
we'll
her Suicide
Squad. We'll see what she's doing in the new one.
Yeah.
She's still over-sexualized.
Yeah.
But if she's actually a character, I'm in.
Right. And I think the rise of Harley Quinn really comes down to two things. They took a character, and always where I kind of get with characters, if you can evolve a character from their original take till now and show that evolution, you can make a better character. And that's the rise of that's truly the rise of Harley Quinn, is that you had great writers on her story, telling good stories with her.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was in her goofy, fun-loving stuff with the Pomades, whether it was the and like the Dotson stuff,
yeah,
the funny stuff, or
the Frank Terry like old grizzled lady trying to like resolve issues,
you know, or Sam you Humphries. Had Sam Humphries run now the deep emotional connection, you know, or just showing you that she can be a fun character, mm-hmm, with depth.
Well, the Harley Quinn and the gang or whatever,
yeah,
that book showed like immense stuff with her.
Yeah,
not like personal, but it was mostly her being like a decent human being that people around her wanted to be her minions. They wanted to be her Robins.
Because she's a good
person.
Because
she became a good role model for people.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Even if she still murders people. Yeah. I say that all the time. Good role models, don't murder people.
Yeah.
Punisher, justice. Bad role model, kills people.
That's the thing. I think her rise does come from the fact that she is truly a good character. She should be one of those characters that does stand the test of time. Or like, she's not going to fade away.
If Harley Quinn fades away, that's when I stop reading comic books. Because when you evolve a character, like you said, from being a sidekick who is just abused,
yeah,
to being a mainstream character that sells out constantly,
yeah,
and has more than one movie coming out, like, yeah, oh, not more than one, but, you know, like more than one movie under her belt.
Yeah. And millions of book titles.
Yeah. Then I'm just going to be done. Like, you know, fade away certain characters, like, just...
Yeah, like, as long as you don't mess her up, you know, I can see her character growing more and more.
I mean, they kind of did this to Deadpool, and I hope they don't do this to Harley Quinn. So, during the Duggan run, Deadpool was Sad Clown.
Yes.
He was a funny character who had really serious shit going on. Right now, that's what Harley Quinn is doing. Harley Quinn is a fun character who's got serious shit going on. If they pull, no offense to Scotty Young and Nick Klein, if they pull a Scotty Young and Nick Klein on Harley Quinn, I think I'm just gonna boycott DC. Like
there's a level. That's what
they kind of did that to Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
and that's why I read the Nightwing book because I love Nightwing, but I hate that run. Okay, I like the story with the other guys, but I don't like how they're treating Rick.
Yeah, and like I said, it's an evolution.
If they do that to Harley Quinn, I will be. Ugh, I just can't describe how infuriated I'll be.
That's the thing. It's all about having the ability to...
It's one thing to change a character, it's another thing to ruin one.
Right, and that's what they have to do. You know, you have to...
They have to keep moving forward.
You have to, and you can. And I think Harley Quinn's one of those characters that are now is a great role model. Someone that can do anything. You know,
she don't need no man.
She is a way to show the every woman in a book. In a sense where, like, she really doesn't have powers.
No, she's just smart.
She's smart. She's
smart, and she thinks on her feet.
Yeah, she's down to earth. That's always kind of like what's real great about her character.
I really like every time she teams up with Poison Ivy, every time she teams up with a lesser character, she gets like serious with them.
Yeah.
Because, like, she'll have, like, a funny scene where she's like, I'll knock your head off, and she smacks him in the face with a hammer, and then, like, a little girl will be crying, and she'll be like, no, 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 it's okay, blah, blah, and she'll, like, talk to people.
Yeah.
And she'll actually have, like, genuine conversations.
And I think she...
Not being a crazy psychotic
Yeah, she's
person.
Not, she's not a one-trick pony. Not and that's anymore. And not anymore. And I think that's what makes her rise even better as a character.
That's what they did to Deadpool. Yeah. Deadpool was originally a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
He was just... funny guy.
Well, not even that.
Die.
Before that, he was just a mercenary.
Well, no, but then Daniel Way made him a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
And then... It was Daniel Way, right?
It was Daniel Way, yeah.
And then Duggan made him this emotional badass.
Yeah.
And they made him... He was a fucking Avenger.
Yeah.
Deadpool was an Avenger.
Yeah.
I can see in the future Harley Quinn joining the Justice League.
That'd be cool.
If...
Like, and not,
if
like,
the continuing Argus and Justice Doom War keeps going on, if, like, Leviathan sums up with Bendis going, all right...
Argus is
done forever, and Harley Quinn is at the bottom of her neck. I could see her, after Snyder's run of Justice League, her joining a team.
Yeah.
Seriously.
A serious team. Yeah.
Maybe like the quote unquote the Odyssey team. Not that exact team, but like a different section of
team. Right.
Like
and
a
not,
Justice League International.
Right. Where it can make sense for a character like her to put her on a team because she is a good guy. Like that's
at
about,
the end of the day, she's a good guy.
Yeah, and everyone, because they
not
want.
The Suicide Squad version. Though.
Yeah. And the problem is. They want to put her on Suicide Squad because they need a name or a character to sell that book.
Yeah. And also, they need more female representation in that book.
That too.
In the beginning, it was like all dudes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides that, I mean, besides the representation issue, they also have to put an A character to sell a book on that thing.
Yeah, Deadshot, no offense, I love him, doesn't sell books, neither does Killer Croc. What? Enchantress.
Right.
Fucking nobody knows her. Harley Quinn sells books.
Yeah.
That's why they got to put her on the front of that. But I think after this new Suicide Squad run, and after Snyder's done with his Justice Doom War, not Justice Doom War.
Yeah,
yeah,
the villains.
Secret Six, Year of the Villains. I think Harley Quinn could seriously be on a team.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think.
I think there's also Doom War.
That's her next evolution, honestly.
Yeah, it's a hero. It's just hero Harley Quinn.
Straight up hero. I mean, they did that with Power Girl, Harley Quinn Power Girl.
Yeah.
They gave her a cape and everything.
Yeah,
like, she was a superhero.
In her current book, it's like anti-hero. Not even anti-hero. She's a hero, but like only within her own small circle.
Deadpool.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what it is. I think that's where her next step of evolution definitely is going. She's just going to be a hero.
And on that note, you're done.
Yes. I know, it's kind of weird we did it backwards today.
All right, give us a close.
Anyway, thanks, guys, for listening. You guys can head over to our website, androidscomics.com, to check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at androids_comics and Twitter at androidscomics for up-to-date news. If you listen to us on Apple Pods, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Whoa, I went to YouTube for a second. I don't know.
You can you subscribe on Apple Pods.
Oh, yes. Rate and review and subscribe. and if you're listening on any other app, if you're listening on any other app, subscribe and don't forget to share. And as always, support your local comic shop and have a nice day.
See ya.